Well, I don't know about you, but all I heard was cake. So we can, thanks guys, they're bringing in some stuff we're going to talk about today. But as we get going here, I was going to title the message for today, The Finale. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, no, that's not how this is going to go. Thank you. Good job. Oh my goodness. Going to do something a little different today, but as we move on from today, today's not the finale. We are living hope, and a living hope is living on, and so that's what we're going to do today, and that's part of what I want to talk to you today about as we get set up here real quick. Usually I've got a video to help me get here, but one, I just want to say thanks. Thanks to you for who you are. Thanks to you for what you do, and for being that living hope. As we talk about today, I want to welcome all my brothers and sisters. We are a family. This is not the end. This is not a goodbye forever or a farewell forever, but this is just a momentary lapse in what we are going to do as we both take new and exciting steps. So today we're going to walk across the river of faith. We're gonna get ready. We're gonna cross the river, and we're gonna possess the land. We've been listening to words and things that have been going on in my mind, even the last few weeks as I've been preparing for today, and I came across these words that says, "Be strong and very courageous." And you know what? Sometimes that's just what we need. We need to be strong and be very courageous. And we're going to cross that river together, and as individuals, but as together as a community and as Christ followers. So that's what we're going to do. Is we're going to live in our purpose. The reason that God has created me, the reason that God created you, the reason that God created us is for such a time as this. So that is our ready, get set, go. Do you remember that? And some of you will say, "Well, what's that? What's that mean?" And what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about some markers. And I first talked to you about markers in life a little over 3.5 years ago for my very first message. And so I'm revisiting some of that as I came in, as we say goodbye, as we enter the next chapter. However you want to frame that, however you need to frame that, let's do that. But let's turn in our Bibles, should we, to Joshua chapter 4, because I think the Bible is a great place for us to have this conversation today. Joshua chapter 4. And we'll pick up right away at verse 1. It said, "When all the people had crossed the Jordan." Okay, let's catch up for just a minute. If you don't know where we are at in history, where Israel is at in history, is Israel had come out of Egypt, out of their bondage, out of their slavery, and to know that God had freed them, that God was leading them. And God said, He said, "Go to your promised land, and wherever you set your foot, I'm going to give it to you." And I think all these years later, God says that very same thing to us, that wherever you put your foot, if you follow after me, I will give it to you. Now, he didn't just move everybody else and all the problems out. We still, just as Joshua and the Israelites had to do, they still had to do some fighting. They still had to be strong and be very courageous and all of those things that come. But when all the people had crossed the Jordan, you see, that was the signifying point to crossing into the promised land. And they had to get themselves ready to go. They had to cross the river. And after 40 years of wandering in the desert, Moses led them, like I said, out of Egypt and to the promised land, right to the edge of the promised land. And they did the wise thing, and they sent some scouts into the land to see what they were up against. Man, there's so many applications of life that we could put into that. We need to scout and to see what is across the river into the next land. And trust me, I've been doing that. And you have been doing that. And so as they do that, and the reports came back of, "Hey, Moses, this isn't going to be easy. There's some pretty big dudes that live in this land. And I'm not sure, you know, wow, maybe we shouldn't do this." And unfortunately, Moses started to listen to some of that type of talk and through some decisions and being fearful. And finally, God just said, "Fine, you don't have to. I'm not going to make you." And he says the same thing to us, by the way. "I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you. But because you've chosen this, I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for, but you're never going to possess the land. Not you, Moses. Now, the Israelites and the nation and us as the church, we're gonna do that, but you, Moses, because you didn't trust me, anybody that's 20 years old and older, they called it a fighting age and older, none of you are going to cross into the promised land. And so they wandered around the desert for 40 years until everybody that was at that time was 20 years old or older had died. And at that point, Moses, we close the book of Exodus with Moses, my servant, is dead. There's a great thing, you know, you got the whole Charlton Heston thing and let my people go and crossing the Red Sea and all of, they were in North Dakota at the Red River, right? But all of that, all of the things that Moses did to help God, or God helped Moses to get out of Egypt, all the miracles that God showed up, and Moses' last phrase or the last thing written is, Moses, my servant, is dead. And move on. You know, and I thought, man, that's kind of abrupt, but all right. But then we get into Joshua, and Joshua is going to take over leadership of Israel. And God says something that I find so satisfying for me, that we can find so satisfying for us, because God said, so I was with Moses, I will be with you. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a great inspiration for us? Because God is saying that very same thing today. That as I was with, who in your mind is a great leader to you? Is a great spiritual emphasis to you? Maybe it's as I was with Billy Graham, I will be with you. As I was with Mother Teresa, as I was with whoever decided to follow God and is great in their faith, so I will be with you. That should encourage. We could just end right there, go have cake, because that's all we really need. That God loves you and God is with us. And that's where Israel is at. And they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. Joshua is to step up to lead these people from the desert, from the wanderings, from the aimlessness in life. And he has to get ready. And the nation has to get ready. And that's a call for us today. That some of you out there and leaders waiting to lead, and some of you that have felt the push from God to lead, you need to get ready. What do you need to know? Who do you need to have conversations with? Who do you need to get to know? Where do you need to be to do that? You need to get yourself ready so that you can cross the river when God calls you to cross that river to possess that land. But let's keep moving on. Then the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. I like that. Where are you going to camp tonight? 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial, and in the future your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. I'd like to revisit something that I told you many years ago. Today I want to share with you some of the memorial markers that are in my life, that are in the church's life, that are in your life. And I was planning on showing you, I actually have this at home. I have 12 stones similar to what I think they would have taken out. And I have them piled up in the front corner of my yard as a marker for me of what God has done in my journey of life. And I was going to show you a picture of that, but unfortunately it's under a great big snowbank. And I was not planning on that in April. Or what is it, the 142nd day of January, I think it is. But we're going to do that today. And what I want to show you is I want to show you in a similar fashion, only a lot smaller, of the things that have gone on in life. For me, in 1977, when I was just 8 years old, was the first time that God really made an impact in my life in a personal way. That was the time when I first, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And then later on, in 1992, I was about 24 years old, And that was the first time I was at a retreat conference, and I first heard that God was speaking into my life, the first time I heard ministry kind of come rattling through my head. And I really didn't know what that meant at the time, but as you know, we would find out what that means later on. In 2003, I was on a missions trip in Costa Rica. And we were helped building a house and having a good time and doing some of that. But as some of you that have been on a missions trip know, that when you get away from the ordinary life, the mundane life, the everyday what we do life, and you get a time to think and to reflect, and God starts to speak to you in a different way when we calm ourselves down to hear his still small voice. And at that point in 2003 was the first time that I had studied Joshua and the story that I'm telling you about today. But he gave me the genesis and the understanding of what it means to get ready, to cross the river, and to possess the land. And that's where it has led us to actually to be here today. Some other events that have taken place. In 2008... taking my first step into that river. That was the first time that I had called the Wesleyan headquarters to sign up as a ministerial student. And so it took me a few years to hear the voice, to act on it. But that was the point at what God said, you need to get ready. And some of you sitting here today need to get ready. You need to take that very first step into what God is calling you to do. And you need to start getting ready with what you need to know or what you need to do. In 2012, then, was the time that I preached my first sermon to more than just Joan and the kids. And that has also led me here to you today. But these are some of the markers that are in my ministry. And some of the other things that are for me personally was 1988, in fact, a lot of time ago, that in Avon, South Dakota, you can imagine the scene. It's getting dark. It's a little dusky. It's December, and it's a nice December, not like December we have, but it was a nice December. And we were down by the creek, and the water was flowing, and not much for birds, but it was a pretty scene. If you can imagine, you know, and a really romantic guy gets down on one knee, you know, and in a moment of weakness, Joan said, "Yes, I will marry you." And I'm thankful for that. But then continuing on, in 1997, our daughter Lauren is born and brought to us. And 2 years later, in 1999, our son Jaron is born and brought to us. And then a couple of other ones that are significant for me in my life is in 2013, when God decided that it's time to step into the water to test that faith, to make it real, I shut down a construction business to become a full-time pastor. And then just a little over a year later, this community of Madison gives me a call and says, "Hey, would you come up and we talked, and would you come be our senior pastor?" And so I did that. And then it brings us clear to 2018, where God calls once again and says, "Hey, you want to cross another river with me? You want to take this ethos that I've born inside of you, and do you want to take that to more than just one place?" And so the genesis of an ethos ministry is starting, and that's what's led us to today. But let's continue to read in Joshua, shall we? Joshua chapter 4 in verse 8 this time. "So the men did as Joshua commanded them. And they took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua." Now, these are a few markers in my life that give you a glimpse of where I have come from early to today. But do you know that some of you also have a part to play in these markers? Some of you have been a part of Living Hope from the very beginning, and we could do this corporately together as a church as well. We could look back to 2003, when a group of people, some from Grace Point Church in Brookings, and some from Linwood Church in Sioux Falls, and others of you in the Madison community, got together and started Living Hope Church. In 2007, as God was blessing us, this building decided we needed a permanent home to be in. And that's why and that's how we became here. In 2014, a senior pastor is called to take over the reins of the plant pastor. In 2017, as community is still a huge deal for Living Hope, but then we finished a place where we can get a good cup of coffee. Well, it's not that it was bad before, but we can get a really good cup of coffee now. And I've seen that place form into a community place where we all take community together. I've seen you do that. And I know for me personally that with a good cup of coffee, I become more godly, I'm pretty sure. And I've seen some of you become more godly with a good cup of coffee. But that's why we did that room. That's why we have this place, is so we can worship like we are this morning. And we have the upstairs so our kids can learn what God has for them, so they can take a step across the river at a point. The whole facility is for a reason. And it's because God has brought us to this place at this time. And even though we don't know exactly what tomorrow is going to look like, we do know this, that God is there and God is good. And that's really all we need to remember for today, is that God is near, God is good, and God loves you. So let's finish up this reading at the end of chapter 4, shall we? Then Joshua said to the Israelites, "In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' And then you can tell them, 'This is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the river before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across.'" I got to stop right there. Did you notice that? That God dried up the river. God kept it dry. That it wasn't just the water stopped. We've all been through drought years where water has stopped flowing, but what's usually at the bottom of a river? It's usually stinky and mucky and that type of mud where you step in it and you lose a shoe, you know, because you can't get it back out. But here we see the power of God, that not only did he stop the flow of river, just like he did with the Red Sea, they're very similar in that circumstance, but Israel crosses on dry ground. You see, if God wants you to cross a river in faith, he will dry the ground before you. That's very important. And he did so that all the nations of the earth might know the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. You and I are a living example of what God is doing in the lives of Madison. What are you telling people? What is the voice of the people getting to the people? What are they hearing? What are they seeing that you do? You see, sometimes we speak verbally, but most of the time, I think it's 80%+, if my facts are correct, that most of our communication is nonverbal. It's in how we carry ourselves and what our face looks like and how we act and what we do, but we also speak. So what are we saying to the people of Madison and Lake County? Well, I can tell you this, that I know from years before to today that the kingdom of God is better off because of you. That the kingdom of God is better off because we together have crossed the river and possessed some land, and the kingdom of God is larger today because of you. What do you tell people through your actions, through your deeds, through your words? What is your marker so that others might see? So that others might see God and who he is through you. Well, I want to give us today three things that we can learn by crossing the river. The first one is this: remember where you have come from and why it's important. What does your past have to do with your future? Now, I know what some of you are going to say. I've got some stuff in my past that I would just as soon not remember. I'm with you. I think everybody does. But why do we remember those things? Why do we have those markers in our lives? You see, God uses things of our past because I don't know about you, but hindsight is 20/20, right? We've heard that before. But God uses those things in our past so that we can learn from them, so that we can use them, so that we can stand on the shoulders of those that have come before us and the things that we have done to do greater things for God. We see these stones to build a memorial. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, "What do these stones mean?" And you can tell them. And you can tell them. We have these written down. You know where you've come from. You know what you've gone through to get here today. And these things are important. Whether you consider some of the things that you've gone through in your lives good things or bad things, they're all important. Whether you think that it was a mistake or not a mistake, don't forget. And don't be in too much of a hurry to just brush those things off of us. You see, Robert Hubbard Jr. stated it this way. He said, "The cluttered mind possesses a unique danger to our lives. It makes us forget the things which matter most, including our walk with Christ." So another question I'll ask you is how cluttered is your mind? What are you intaking? How much social media do you let overtake your life? How much Bible reading do you get? How much news do you intake? How much friendship conversations or gossip conversations? What is it that's coming in, and how are you deciding which stuff you're going to keep? There are markers in our lives. There are things that God has done for you that you need to remember. The first four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that we can use those books to see what Jesus has done here on earth while he was here to make a marker for us. You see, Jesus loves you, and Jesus died for you, and Jesus wants you to live forever in heaven with him. He wants you. He invites you to come and to live life his way. There are things that we have to keep clear in our lives. That's what Hubbard was talking about when he said, don't let your life get too cluttered up. Because the things of God will surely get pushed out. We've seen it happen time and time and time again. So I want to encourage you, get involved with God. Get involved in your life and the life of the church. Don't just let 1 hour today be the experience that you have with God and the church. Let it permeate your entire life and your entire weeks. Number two is this: don't forget that your relationships matter. Relationships are so huge. Joshua and the rest of the nation of Israel were together as one unit, and they knew that the only way that they were going to get on in life, the only way that they were going to survive and thrive, was because of their relationship with God and their relationship with each other. What are the relationships that are markers in your life? You see, if the research is correct, I think we can only have somewhere between 6 and 10 true, deep, meaningful relationships in our life. Which 6 or 10 are you having be the markers in your life? What kind of an influence are those 6 to 10 relationships having on you? Are they God-building, God-fearing, God-growing relationships in your life? Or are you allowing these markers to be the type of relationships that actually tear you away from God? That leads you further down a path of destruction, the Bible calls it. Where are your relationships? Make good choices with your relationships. Do you have a relationship with God today? You see, that should be the paramount relationship marker that we have in our lives. Do you have a time? Are you following and walking with God? For some people, they have a marked time. God has given me a marked time in history that I remember like it was yesterday, when I said yes to God. Do you have that? Or do you find yourself wanting to walk with God more and more and more each day? That's a marker for you to have. Some people will say, well, I'm not sure I'm good enough to have a relationship with God. And Jesus says over and over and over again, he says, come. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, he says, and I will give you rest. Some of you just need to hear and understand today that Jesus loves you and that there is nothing you can do to get Jesus to love you more. And there is nothing that you can do to make Jesus love you less. Jesus loves you and he loves you perfectly. And he wants you to have a relationship with him. So that does bring up the question then, how good is good enough? For some people still struggle with that in the points of our lives. And how good do I have to be? And we think, you know, well, somebody like, you know, Mother Teresa and Billy Graham and woo, rockets of the faith, boy, and they're way up there, and I'm clear down here. But even Billy Graham said in some of his writings that I fail. I fail in comparison. I am never good. Why does God even love me with who I am? Billy Graham says these things. The Apostle Paul says these things. I am the worst of these came out of Paul's mouth. So what comes out of our mouths? Are we good enough? And you know what? Jesus spent his entire life here on earth. He spent his entire ministry here on earth saying, you know what? However good you think you are, God's standards are always up here. But you know what's really cool? He said, I came so that you might have life and have it to the full. And through all of his teachings, and even when he was talking about that, he's essentially telling us, you know what, however good you think you are, but God is still clear up here, I'm going to fill the difference for you. That if you will trust me, if you will have a relationship with me, if you will understand that I came to die for you, not to condemn you, but to save you, that I will make up the difference, Jesus said, by the shedding of his blood on the cross and forgiving of our sins. Jesus says, I will make you good enough if you'll just trust me and follow me. Now, we all struggle with that at some point in our lives, and I hope that if you're struggling with that right now, that you'll just give that in to Jesus and who he is. Because we're going to have struggles. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But you know what? It's okay. Because we can do this. And just like every other, there was a business meeting at Any Church USA. And this business meeting was well into its second hour, and it had another cantankerous meeting. If you've grown up in the church at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those meetings, okay? Lots of angry comments, snide remarks, and power plays coming from every corner, making it especially sad. The issue on the table really wasn't even an important one. The debate was over a relatively minor recent change to the church's worship service. Finally, one of the older members stood, and he paused for just a moment. And looking down at his feet, thinking about how exactly to share what he was thinking. Well, of course, several members were shifting in their seats, waiting for this old man to speak, and just what was he going to speak, and at last he did. And he said this, he said, "Who in hell cares?" And a couple of ladies gasped and had reactions, I think, just like we did. And he continued, he said, now don't mishear me. He said, I did not just use vulgar language. I asked a question. Who in hell cares? We've been debating this little bit of nothing issue for close to 90 minutes. And it's all about each person in the room getting exactly what they want. But who in hell cares? Who, having died without Christ and finding themselves in hell, is going to care two hoots about whatever we decide tonight? You see, we're wasting our time arguing over things that don't amount to a hill of beans. And the world around us is dying without the saving knowledge of Jesus. So I'll ask you again, who in hell cares? And of course, as the old man sat down and there was this awkward silence. For the longest time, no one wanted to speak up. No one wanted to jump back into the conversation, into the previous debate. But listen to these words from Apostle Paul. He wrote this in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, "So that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ." You see, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one can boast. The relationship that matters is our relationship with God and our relationships with each other and who are we talking to. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, that is my angst, that is my crying breath. My last breath is take Jesus seriously. Take Jesus, who he is, into your own life, into your family's life. Because once we pass from this life, those that die without Christ, who in hell is going to care if we don't share that with them? All you need to do is have a relationship with Jesus. Just come to an understanding that trying to run your own life, that you've made a mess of it, that we have gone against God, that we have sinned against God, and therefore we have broken the relationship between us and God. And he just says, come. He just, confess your sins to me. I will forgive you, for by grace you can be saved, not of works, so that no one should boast. Matthew 10:34. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. So don't forget that relationships matter, both in heaven and here on earth. The third thing that I want to leave with you as we cross this river of faith is this. Tell others what the story is. Tell others what your story is as you have followed Christ so that they will be able to understand what their story can be. The text says, in the future, your children will say to you, what do these markers in your life mean? If you have children, we have a very new baby with us this morning. Congratulations, guys. That's so awesome. The Haydens just, was it just this past week or is it 2 weeks ago now? This was past week. Whew, I'm tired just looking at you. Well, that's cool. From a life as a baby, and you have children, and some of you have grandchildren, and maybe even great-grandchildren. Do you have markers in your life that they can say, Papa, what does that mean? I hope you do. Because if you do, you get a chance to tell them. Take a look and see how God has gotten you clear from there, clear to over here, and tell others. You can tell them as a child. Dr. Seuss even helps us out. He wrote a book, and I believe it's called The Places You Will See. And even in a simple children's book, I think it pertains to us. Oh, the places you will see if you will follow after Christ. One of the best ways at Living Hope that we create these moments, that we help people create markers with God, is through life groups, where we do life together outside of Sunday morning. You see, for us this morning, I get to talk. I get to talk a lot. But you don't talk back very much, and for some of that, I'm thankful for. We don't get to have a conversation on mornings like this. But in a life group, we get to do that. We get to do life together. We get to do everyday life together, not just on Sunday morning. Are you in a life group? Are you in a small group? Are you in a care group? Whatever you want to call it, I don't care. Let's just be a part of the community in a group. And some of you are even leading and teaching these groups. Who's my life group leaders? Raise your hand, would you please? Raise your hand, your life group leaders. If you're not in a part of a life group, get with one of these guys or gals and be a part of the community. Join them. Create a marker in your life today. If you've chosen to create a marker with Jesus today, I want to encourage you to write it down on your connection card so that we can do life with you, so that we can cross those rivers of faith together as a community. And one of the best ways that I know that God has remembered us is through his son, Jesus Christ, and through the sacrifice that he made for you and for me. Paul wrote in Philippians these words, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that has raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything under his control. Therefore, because of all of this, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you. I love you. And I long to see you, dear friends. For you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. So often, I think when you don't know what to say, go to the Bible. The Bible knows what to say. The Bible is a great place to start. And so as my time here comes to an end, let these be my final words to you. As Paul stated in 2 Corinthians, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God, I don't know what to say. I'm out of words. But I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you do. I thank you for what you have done. And I know today that this is not the final day of history, but this is just the next chapter in a beautiful life that you have given to us. And I thank you for it. And I give you praise and glory for these people. And God, may you watch over us as we may be separate by miles, but we are not separate in you. We are together in one body, in many places, at this time, for this reason. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.